from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you. Into the 8 o'clock hour we go. We head out to the Cleveland, Ohio area right now. Texans, their third and final practice before heading up to Pittsburgh to take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. We are joined by Texan sideline reporter and founder of FootballTakeover.com, John Harris, joining us. Johnny, it sounded like the elements were an issue yesterday with rain. What's it looking like? Set the scene for us there today in the last practice.
Let me, John, preface it differently than Sean did, which is how the hell is rain an issue for it annoys me. It annoys me that this team now for 2 years has issues with the rain.
Well, technically the rain didn't happen until after practice. So they got their practice done with no rain. So it was not an issue during practice. And
Sloan said the ball was getting slippery.
Well, you know, it was interesting because the ball was slippery yesterday. The footing was not great. Guys were kind of going around. The field was wet, but there was no rain during practice. But you know how that is, Seth. The field, it may not have got rain, but there's been rain every day since we've been up here. So the field was pretty saturated. And so guys were slipping a little bit, and so obviously the follow up was, yeah, there was the ball probably got a little bit wet, but you know, the real rain and the tornado didn't come until later. Literally, the tornado was blowing through as Mark and I were doing our show, our 6 o'clock show, Texas All Access. The tornado was coming through. We got a text from Football Ops saying, "Hey, get away from all windows! A tornado is going through." And I looked outside and looked exactly like the derecho that went through my neighborhood back in May. It was just like, my God, can the weather stop? So, yeah. Are there any other falsehoods that we need to put to rest that popped up on Twitter yesterday? Like, you know, somebody went to the hospital in an ambulance and all that kind of stuff. Because it seemed like there was some false reporting going on from things up here in Ohio.
It was okay. So Bobby Slowick falsely reported the rain. So I guess we put that to rest. Yep. That Bobby Slowick was the bad media in that situation.
Bad meteorologist is what he is.
Yeah, yeah. And then Titus Howard, I guess the way I understand it, somebody had said he was carted off the field. It seems like that might be literally correct because guys were riding carts away from the facility. But yeah, the way it was framed, it made it sound like Titus Howard might have had a much more drastic injury than what was it though? Because he did leave practice, okay. Did he not?
Okay, so I'm going to get into one of my pet peeves here, and this is one of them. I know Sean writes his down, so Sean, get your pen ready.
Okay, I just did. Yeah,
and write this down.
Okay,
if you weren't at the scene, don't report it. Repost it from somebody else. So there were only 5 media members from Houston, and I don't tweet about anything of practice. I just write about things that happen in my Harris Hits, which you should go read at HoustonTexas.com.
Yep.
So I start seeing Twitter accounts that I know for a fact had no, they were not on site in Ohio saying that Titus was carted off. No. Titus had some sort of issue after one-on-ones. I don't know what it was. He walked over to the trainers. He went in the blue tent for a second. He walked out. They determined it probably wasn't best for him to go into practice. And so he got on a golf cart because university school's got all kinds of elevation, and it's a long walk back to the locker room. So he hopped in a golf cart with one of our security guys and took the ride back to the locker room. But he got carted off.
Yeah.
I absolutely hate that. So, one, the whole cart-off situation. Yeah. Everybody pretty much goes off on a cart for the most part if there's any kind of injury, et cetera. So if you weren't there, then say, per somebody that was there, this person was hurt. Like, quote them exactly, the people that were there. He was not carted off. And all of a sudden, this becomes a big story. I'm like, what the – what's going on? Report if you were there. If you were there, report it. If you saw him lay down on a cart because you were at practice, then report it. If not, then you repost the people that were there, because you sound like an idiot when you report on something that wasn't there.
Can you confirm that he didn't have his leg amputated yesterday?
Yeah, Johnny, can you give us something?
Have
here?
You seen him with two legs?
But Seth, I'm not reporting that. I'm not reporting that he had both legs amputated and a left hand. I did not report that.
John Harris joining us. All right, Johnny. So I've got a new note on my phone. I've got my note for my pet peeves. I just opened one up for you. So let's populate that note throughout the season here. Hey, John Harris, Texan sideline reporter, joining us. It sounded like from tweets that we read and Harris hit reports and whatnot, that Derek Stingley Jr. had another really good day yesterday. How awesome was Stingley yesterday? Were all the reports we saw of the two picks, did the two picks match the magnitude that we read about them, where he picked off one that would have been a pick six off of CJ, and then he picked off a 50-50 ball to Nico off of CJ?
Yeah, I think the 50-50 ball was, I don't know, both of them were really, really cool, because it kind of encapsulates everything that Sting is. And I said this to Mark, and Mark brought it up last night too. And I always make sure that I bring this up, because Sting is a physical freak. Like, the things that we see him do on a field, and I've said this too about Sting, I think he's got the best hands on the team. And I think the way he can go up and snatch the football out of the air, I mean, it's like a wide receiver. And in fact, his last year at LSU, there was talk about him playing receiver before he got hurt and then had surgery and ended that season. But the first interception he had, you know, it was a go route by Nico. He read it perfectly. He was in phase. And so there was no way that Nico could even get to the ball. And so when you say, you know, Sean, you said 50-50, because that's kind of the way we describe it. But it really wasn't, because there was no way Nico was going to go over Sting to get the football, because Sting had basically blocked him out. You know, in basketball, I mean, I was 6 foot. I had to block out dudes that were as tall as 7 feet at some point. And there's just the body control you learn to make sure that you keep that person on your hip, where even though that guy's a foot taller than you, you're going to go get that rebound. And that's kind of the way Stingley was able to play that perfectly with his body control. Nico had no chance to make that catch. He makes the interception. And then, of course, Sting, in a kind of a funny moment, he just kind of took the ball when he got up and he flung it back at the offense. Like, what y'all doing? Y'all trying me?
That's so awesome.
He has that pick, and then last drill of the day was a situation, minute 10 on the clock, down three, got a drive, you know, the whole thing that goes to the end of the game, end of half situation. And the first throw was on the right side, offensive right side, defensive left, right on our sideline, Tank running the out route. And it looked like it was a switch release, so he kind of switched it in back. Stingley never fell for it. He jumped the route and picked it off. And that, to me, was all about football IQ. He knew exactly what they were trying to do. He knew they had to get to the sideline. And he played. He played it smart. He knew it. And he went and jumped it. And that would have been a route that, you know, you see all the time, the out route where the DB jumps in front, snatches it, nobody's in his way. The receiver's running out to the sideline, so he's got no momentum. And then it's just a race between the quarterback and the defensive back to the end zone. And that's what Sting did. And I say this with those two picks, that definitely would have been a pick six. Those two have just been kind of symbolic of what he's done, emblematic of what he's done in camp. He's been really good in camp. Now, I thought Clint brought up a good point. I hadn't really thought about it this way. But the first few days of camp, there were a couple times where Nico went deep on Sting, and I think maybe Diggs did too. I don't know. there were a couple guys that got behind him a couple times, and CJ hit some deep balls, etc. Said, but after the fight, Stingley has been just phenomenal, and I thought, you know what, the timing's about right. I do think, in addition to that, you get to that point in camp where you've seen the same route over and over and over again. It's the same offense. It's the same thing. You're working some similar situations. And you just use your smarts to say, okay, I've seen this route. I've watched this route a bunch. And this thing's really smart. So I think you start to reach that point in camp where you know what's coming. But I think that the brawl or whatever was started, and by the way, you know, Stephon Diggs and Jimmy Ward were throwing hands. Well, it was reported by people that weren't there that that happened. But Derek Stingley was right in the middle of that, and he was one who went after Dalton Schultz, and it was almost like it flipped Sting's switch of whatever that is, and he just went to a different level from that point. So he has been exceptional. And we know from what he did last year against the Browns, which is something D'Amico Ryan said, we don't travel our corners. We don't travel our corners. We don't travel our corners. All of a sudden, in the playoff game, we're traveling Derek Stingley, and he's shutting down Amari Cooper. So to have that weapon, to have that ace in your hand, to be able to play it when you need to against a CeeDee Lamb, you know, receiver of that caliber, Sting's probably going to travel with Justin Jefferson a little bit too, I would imagine. So there's going to be those things and those receivers that he could do that against, and you have that ability to do that because you have Derek Stingley, and he's just gotten better. Now, as you guys know, as we finish every sentence with Derek Stingley, if he's healthy, mm-hmm. just stay healthy, and the guy can end up being, I think, the best corner in the league.
John, tell me if this sounds right to you or not. Because I worry sometimes when people see reports of multiple interceptions in a practice or anything, or any C.J. Stroud interception. It feels like this year in camp, there's times where C.J. has thrown interceptions or incompletions where it's almost like at the end of a play where it would have been a sack or maybe everything's broken down, but CJ's kind of like, all right, well, let's get something out of this rep. And he just kind of throws a low probability ball that he wouldn't throw in a game.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that, Seth. I think there's a lot of that you're trying to do. Get something out of that particular rep. And sometimes in training camp, you know, we talk to the guys a lot, you know, guys that are in their second and third year, you know, they're trying some things. You know, we talked to Will Anderson before. I think it was probably a few days in the camp, and he's like, you know, I'm working on certain things. And so those things seem to be working because he seemed to be yes. getting the quarterback all the time. But, you know, the guys are working on some things, and, you know, they want to, you know, for CJ, it might be, you know, spreading the wealth out, you know, making sure he's read the defense, seeing what it is. And I also think that, you know, CJ doesn't have his full offensive line in front of him, but he's also used to doing that. He's not had his offensive line in front of him every single snap that he's taken. And there were a few times, especially back home, where the last couple of days before we left, the defense was just so dominant that it was hard to get, you know, any throw off. So, yeah, there's some times when you see him do some things. Like he had a throw Monday. Yeah, yesterday. What's today? Wednesday. Yeah, so Monday where he's out of the pocket. It's probably a throw where he would have run the ball. But he was just trying to get out of Dodge, and he just decided to flip it back to somebody. And Azeez Al-Shaair was standing right there and picked it off. And then that's definitely a throw where you go, okay, he's probably running that ball, or he's throwing that thing away. He's got such a good knack for that. So I feel like there are some things he's working on. So I don't get all hot and bothered about interceptions and all that kind of thing. Because there's some things he's working on. There's some receivers he's working with that he might not be working with in the regular season, whatever the case might be. So I don't get all frustrated with that. But there, you know, Sting made a couple of great plays. Sometimes you get beat by really great players. And Sting has a propensity to do that. And keep in mind, last training camp, CJ wasn't facing Sting every single rep. You know, he was, before we went to, well, it was week two, I think the Dolphins, I don't think he had been named the starting quarterback at that point. So he was taking the first 10 days, probably half the reps against the second team. So he's seeing Sting every single throw, and I think that is an absolute dude that he's facing every single time. So you kind of throw all those factors in. You don't worry about it. You don't really worry about it. And hopefully we'll see CJ on Friday night against the Steelers and in a game situation. Hopefully he's taking some of those lessons he's got in camp and applying them. He'll take care of the football like he always has.
John Harris, Texan sideline reporter, footballtakeover.com. Johnny, you guys off to Pittsburgh when? Today? Tomorrow? What's the plan?
Tomorrow we got practice over at University School today, and then we bus to Pittsburgh on Friday. I'm sorry, on Thursday, and then play the game Friday.
Yeah, awesome.
Ooh, taking a bus to the game.
That's old school. Oh, cool.
The yellow buses will pick. Oh no, not the yellow buses.
No,
they're nice, comfortable buses. They'll be good
that
buses,
would be so. Awesome if you guys took actual school buses to Pittsburgh for training camp.
Yeah. Like when supposedly Deshaun Watson went to the Jags game in a van.
Yeah,
and it turned out it was like a luxury motor coach. Dress it up a little bit. Yeah. I like the yellow school bus idea.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah, I don't like the yellow school bus idea because I'll be on that bus for 1 hour 45, so I'll be happy with the buses that we take. But the Deshaun van from 2018 was definitely not a yellow school bus, that's for sure.
Houses 15. Yeah, is his van. Yeah. His van houses 15 people and stops at steakhouses along the way. Yeah. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with Texan sideline reporter John Harris. You can get his Harris hits later on today from today's practice. It's the best summary you're going to find of things that went on out of Texans practice. It's at HoustonTexans.com. Just search Harris hits, and it brings you to all of them. If you want to binge Harris hits from throughout training camp and get all caught up, it's all right there in one spot. Johnny, safe travels. We'll catch up with you about today's practice tomorrow. Thanks.
All right, boys. Sounds great. See you tomorrow.
See ya. Bye. Yep. Thanks. John Harris joining us here. Hopefully whatever's ailing his phone fixes itself between
now and tomorrow. It sounds like we're following. It was like the waves on an ocean with the audio on that. Yeah, it was kind of like, here's the whole thing going to say that.
I got to let Johnny know about that.
All right, I can't hear him.
It's a roller coaster, man.
So DJ Bieniemy yesterday, who was on site, had tweeted out, Howard has left practice on a cart.
Yeah.
That was the... And it turns out Bobby Slowick is fake news, apparently. Bobby Slowick explained that the rain is an issue and the balls were getting slippery, but John saying that it didn't even actually start raining until after the offense already had a crappy practice.
Yeah, I got to go back and listen if he said the footing was an issue or the rain was an issue.
He's saying we don't deal with a lot of rain and
elements, maybe.
And
Yeah. Man, Slowick, step your game
maybe
up.
Maybe it was a kind of, you know what? Slowick having been in San Francisco, I think maybe defines rain differently than John.
Maybe.
Because Northern California and the Pacific Northwest, there's times where it's raining, but it just feels more like, I'm stuck out at sea in the fog. It's a misting.
There's a perpetual mist over that whole part of the country what it is.
Yeah. All right. So maybe that's what Slowick calls rain.
Let's circle back to the Astros. The reasons why I think last night's Astros game is something that if the Astros are going to make a run, you need to get used to. One big milestone for the Astros that got hit over the last couple days too, that kind of flew under the radar, that impacts this season and next season. We'll tell you what that was coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
And skies this one to right. Chaz McCormick all the way back, and the no-hitter is over. One out away from a no-hitter. Instead, Corey Seager connects for a two-run home run. Bravo, that close to becoming the second pitcher in Astros history to have two no-hitters. Instead, it's a 4-2 game in the bottom half of the ninth.
He's staying with the heater up.
Fly ball right field, deep. Chaz McCormick has room and puts it away in front of the wall. Rangers making a bid for another dramatic final inning, but Josh Hader had just enough to keep that in the stadium, and the Astros escape with a 4-2 win and a combined one-hitter between Framber Valdez for 26 outs and Josh Hader with a little skip of the heartbeat for the 27th out.
Yeah, two highlights there. Todd Callis and Jeff Blum on the call. The first highlight, the Corey Seager home run that broke up a Framber Valdez no-hitter with two outs in the bottom of the ninth. And then, of course, the final call, which was a victorious one for the Astros. 4-2, the final score. Not going to lie, towards the end when Framber gave up that home run and Hader came in and walked a guy and...
Yeah. Yeah,
there was a lot of I've seen this movie before with that game at the end last night.
Yeah, it's just like, well, it's a save situation. Okay. Yeah. Some of the running theme with the Astros closers over the last couple of years have been like, hey, as long as it's a save situation, they're good. Non-save situations, obviously. I don't want to say incredible, but a very, very good performance by Framber Valdez. Corey Seager becomes the only player in MLB history to twice break up a no-hitter in the ninth inning with two outs. So, tip of the cap to him. If the Astros had lost, I wouldn't have tipped my cap to him. I would have been openly screaming at Espada for not taking his legs out on a play at second at some point.
On a double play.
Instructing somebody, and yeah. Instructing Denuzio there, whatever his name is, to go ahead and...
DiCenzo. DiNunzio.
Who's DiNunzio?
He's the caddy. He was the caddy in Caddyshack.
Right.
Yeah.
I knew DiNunzio wasn't correct, but I knew DiNunzio was something from movies.
Yeah.
DiNunzio was the jerk one?
Yes.
Like the sleazy one?
Yep.
One you wouldn't trust with your sister?
Correct.
That was DiNunzio?
Yep. He was slimy. So the Astros last night, they went 4-2. I thought offensively, it was kind of like, okay, this is probably what we are going to, if they're going to get back to winning again, this is probably what it's going to look like. There's nothing below Yiner Diaz in the lineup right now that I feel like is going to turn a corner and really start to boost that part of the lineup. Like a lot of these guys, Seth, like so five through nine last night. We'll just use last night as an example. Jeremy Pena, Jonathan Singleton, Zach DiCenzo, who's off, he's in a different category. It was his major league debut, but he's debuting as the DH on this team. Like that is how lacking in depth they are offensively right now, that they bring a guy up who played 11 games in AAA. Granted, tore it up, but and plunked him down as the DH last night. Jake Myers, Chaz McCormick, those are all guys that they're not playing well right now, and yet I feel like there's not a 900 OPS month coming out of any of these guys, you know?
It feels like when the Germans started putting 14-year-olds out on the front line, man. In the many comparisons that they... What?
You love your
work. It didn't
work.
Go well after that.
No,
Sean.
I know.
All right.
Where?
I mean, it wasn't a good sign when they started doing that.
Yeah. That's 5 through 9 in the Astros lineup right now. 3 for 14 last night. The top four in the lineup, who are all very capable major league hitters, 8 for 19 last night.
The Astros, look,
they're the adults in the army.
The adults in the Army are not holding up their end of the bargain either.
Yeah.
The runners in scoring position and the left on base stats for the Astros since the All-Star break have been just downright embarrassing. And I know that at some point between now and October, there will be another offensive surge. So, which is great, but you can't rely on it in the playoffs, obviously. Even when you're an all-time record-breaking offense, your bats are going to go dry at times during the playoffs. So, it's all about the pitching at this point. It's all about whether Framber can continue to do what he's done many times in the past and what he's been doing as of late. And whether Justin Verlander comes back and his rehab starts, which are coming up very soon, and can come back and give you a couple months of vintage Verlander.
Yep. Define surge for me. When you anticipate a surge coming, is it like a multi-game thing? Is it like...
It wouldn't be a surge if it was just one. It would be like what they had before the All-Star break.
Yeah,
when they recaptured and regained all this ground. They're capable of doing it. You can get Bregman, Altuve, Pena, and then obviously the biggest X factor is Tucker. I trust that Yordan will 100% be okay.
Yes.
Obviously, he was very big last night, but he hadn't hit a home run in 50 at-bats. But Kyle Tucker is the one that doesn't just provide his personal production, but just adds a whole lot of stress to the opposing defense just by virtue of him being in
there. Okay, thank you. The surge you're talking about, to me, doesn't happen if Kyle Tucker doesn't come back. If this is their lineup that they're having to go with here, like, I have very little confidence that they can score at a championship level multiple games in a row. Like, there's
The pre-All-Star break surge without Kyle Tucker was just a complete once in a lifetime occurrence.
I think it was an aberration. You know, like I do. I don't think Jake Meyers is a 900 OPS guy like he was in the month of May. We've got enough of a body of work now on Jeremy Pena that he can go work on his swing in a laboratory for 16 hours a day in the offseason. He's a 700 OPS guy. He's a 700 OPS guy who had an outstanding month of October his rookie year and won the MVP of the ALCS and the MVP. And Jonathan Singleton, I mean, they've tried like hell to replace Jonathan Singleton. Like, they were replacing him with Jose Abreu for a while earlier this year. Chaz is just not his year. I think last year is an aberration for Chaz. So yeah, and Mauricio Dubon has come back to earth. Like, there are four guys in this lineup who would make me nervous if I were an opposing manager, and it's the first four guys in the lineup.
Coming back to earth for Dubon, phrasing it that way is putting a way positive spin on it.
Correct.
He's a mess.
Well, look, the whole thing with people, like, I get it. Like, Dubon, in some ways, Dubon's impression with the fan base, this is just my theory, was buoyed by Abreu being in the lineup because there were so many people like, why don't you just play Dubon every day at first base? Which would, at the time, would have been a logical solution because he's way better than Jose Abreu was. The fact of the matter is, though, Mauricio Dubon is like a 260 to 270 type hitter who never walks. He's 4-for-45. His batting average is .259 this year, and his on-base percentage is .283. When your on-base percentage is only 30 or 40 points higher than your batting average, then you rarely walk. And if you rarely walk, you probably have very uncompetitive at-bats when you're not getting hits. And so that's the thing. Like, I love Dubon and his role on the team, but the people that wanted to trot him out there to play every day, that was silliness at the time to me, even when he was going well earlier this year.
It is like, and that is where with Dubon, even though he's shown that he's capable of really positive outcomes, like His high watermark is going to be as like an average baseball hitter. His best seasons have been with like a 720 OPS.
Correct.
He is better than he has been over the past this past really bad stretch. But that's not the thing. You can't depend on him as being one of the things that's the elixir for the offense.
No, and even Yiner, as a cleanup hitter. You know, his OPS is .764, which is above average for a major leaguer, but for a championship level baseball team, if your cleanup hitter has an OPS in the mid 700s, you're probably having to win with your pitching. Because the lineup falls off a cliff after him.
So magnificent, magnificent, crazy, Cy Young award winning level performance out of what? Just four pitchers in the playoffs is what it has to be. It has to be a pitching run for the ages.
Yes, yeah.
If they're actually going to make a push, they make the playoffs.
If they make the playoffs, exactly. Which is being that's being held up by the division right now. As this team is constructed right now, and I know there was a positive report on Kyle Tucker yesterday from Dana Brown, or something that felt positive, sort of a really long quote about how they feel good, and if he feels good, this is an injury where you can come back maybe quicker than others and whatnot. Man, until I see Kyle Tucker put a baseball uniform on and play in a rehab game, I'm treating this thing like Kyle Tucker's not coming back anytime soon, if at all. And if this is the lineup they're going with, because there are no more solutions out there, they're bringing up Zach DiCenzo. That's their solution right now. So there's no answers left out there. What is in that dugout is what you're going with. If they're going to make the playoffs and then make a run in the playoffs, there's going to be a lot of soccer scores. There's going to be a lot of 3-2 and 2-1. Just a lot of low scoring, grind it out.
It is
manufacture run games.
Espada's gotten himself to a weird place now where, in the past, people would get frustrated if the Astros didn't release enough information or fill us in on various rehabs or whatever. Where now it's gone to the point almost where when Espada says anything positive, my knee-jerk reaction is like, I can only assume that it's actually way worse than whatever you're saying.
Yes.
He has said positive things about so many guys now who have ended up being in the middle of a setback or have been like a day ahead of Tommy John surgery. Like Javier and Urquidy, Espada was all roses about them the day before they had Tommy John surgery.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I want to believe that, okay, Kyle Tucker is more advanced now and he is getting back to the club, but I can't. I just can't. Because he does. Espada says this about every single freaking guy.
Yep.
That they're all right on the verge of coming back.
Yep.
Oh, you and Chandler Rome have really put a drain on my positivity
I have
this morning.
Me and Chandler.
Yes. You too. You dark clouds.
It is
you
true.
You're kind of like...
No, Framber almost threw a no-hitter last night, and I'm like dissecting how bad the lineup is. Yeah,
Framber was good, but did you see Mauricio Dubon? He's Mauricio Dubon.
Hey, man, someone needs to tell
freaking
the truth.
Eeyore. You and the Texans offense, you're a couple of Eeyores.
Yep.
The rain comes and you just shut it down.
Deal with it.
You just go into a hole and die.
You know, we are truth tellers. That's what we are. Sorry. Sorry about it, okay? All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. D'Amico Ryan sat down with the NFL Network and talked about two of the key guys on his side of the ball on defense, and one of which, if this guy can stay healthy this year, how big a difference does it make for the Texans defensively? We'll hear from D'Amico Ryans coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hey, real quick, the one milestone that an Astro passed over the past couple days, it's kind of flown under the radar a little bit. I think I saw Chandler Rome point this out in one of his summary pieces after a game in the last couple days. Ryan Pressly will be a Houston Astro in 2025. His option kicked in. He crossed the threshold of, I think he needed 45 appearances this year. He needed 110 over a two-year period. He had 65 last year. So once he hit his 45th appearance this year, and assuming he doesn't finish the season on the IL, that's the other big caveat, his contract kicked in for next year. So Ryan Pressly is going to be part of this team in 2025, barring injury, which means for the second year in a row, you got a super expensive back end of the bullpen with Pressly making about $14 million for the eighth inning and Hader making $19 million for the ninth inning.
You know, I haven't thought about Justin Verlander's trigger in a long time. Are we at the point where it's mathematically impossible?
No chance. Okay. Yeah.
There's no chance he's going to come back and try to pitch a complete game in his
final. In every start coming back.
Yeah.
I don't even know, Seth, I don't even know, given the fact that he's at least probably another 2 weeks away now.
Yeah.
If he did that he would make. He's only pitched like 60 innings all year. He needs 140.
He's got 57 innings and he needed how many?
140.
140?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, no chance.
That's not happening.
No chance. Now, I do think there's a chance, and we'll get to D'Amico Ryans here in a second. I forgot to pay off on that part of the tease in the previous segment. But as long as you bring up Verlander, I do think there's a chance he's back here next year. You know, if they make a run in the postseason, I think he could sign back here for a reasonable deal. I think he likes Houston. I think his family likes Houston. I think he and Jim Crane really like each other. And as much as we complain about this baseball team, is if Dana Brown makes some of the right moves in the offseason and they get healthy again, they get some guys back, that this should be a team that is maybe not at the tippy top of the contender list, but it should be a playoff team. And I don't know how many teams out there, even playoff teams, have the financial wherewithal or want to sign Justin Verlander to a deal that he might want. I think the Astros, if Justin Verlander said he'd come back next year, like maybe, you know, 2 years, assuming he pitches well the rest of this year when he comes back, I don't know, like 2 years, two years for $15 million a year, 2 years, $30 million, something like that. I don't know. Someone may give him more than that. I have no idea. But he's going to be 42 years old coming off of two injuries. You know,
the Mets, also means the Mets are off the hook.
They are.
So for all of our Mets fans who listen to this show,
yes,
you guys are off the hook for Verlander's salary.
Both of you are off the hook, yes, for Verlander, yeah.
Verlander would have to average 9.1 innings per start. This was on August 1st. That'd be,
he's literally he's intentionally sending games into extra innings.
And that was on August 1st, so I don't know when they had the start date for this. But, yeah, it's not going to happen.
No, not even
that
close.
That option is over.
Yep, not even close. D'Amico Ryans sat down with the NFL Network out at training camp earlier this week and talked about the two big leaders on defense. These two guys are unique to D'Amico because he was with both of them in San Francisco. When you're trying to kind of import things and create your version of the 49er defense here, what better than to bring in two former 49ers, Azeez Alshire and Jimmy Ward?
Yeah, that's, you know, it was important to me to, you know, get those, especially those two guys. One, they both love football, and they play the game the right way. They are tenacious players, physical. They understand, you know, me and what I expect of guys. And so it's not just me preaching a style of play. It's Azeez and Jimmy upholding the standard amongst the players. And that's more powerful than me saying it. And you just watch those guys work.
Yeah.
Right? When your best players or your hardest working players, as everyone knows, that's what makes your team better.
Yeah, the leadership by committee is it's not something that's a negative in the NFL. It's like you have to have leaders at every position group. Ideally, it's hard to achieve, but it's, you know, there's never one guy that's going to all of a sudden change the culture of a team. It's just that you've got to have guys like that sprinkled throughout the team. I remember talking to Kyle Brady about the Patriots the year after Spygate because he was new to the team. And I was curious about it. I saw him after that couple years later, and I was like, "So what was that like? What was the distraction like because of all that and everything?" And he just said, "It was so unbelievable how good their veteran leadership was that it just was never one bit of an issue. Like any of that stuff, everything issues were taken care of within the clubhouse or within the locker room by veterans on the team, not just" with that particular issue, but with things in general. And that's where I D'Amico understands that, you know, and I think it's really important for him to, that's why you've got so many guys on the defense that are in their 30s right now. I think he wants to have as much good veteran leadership surrounding the young guys at any given time that all that stuff accumulates and compounds.
And if he had his way, he would have had a former 49er in each of the levels of the defense in those rooms, because he's got Jimmy Ward in the, you know, with the secondary.
Yeah.
He's got Azeez with the linebackers. If he had his way, Eric Armstead would be one of the defensive linemen on this team right now. You know,
right? Or yeah, if Danielle Hunter hadn't become, you think he glares at Danielle Hunter like,
no,
the fact that we had a shot at you ruined my dream
of having
three old dudes,
a Niner in each room,
my little 49ers lemon party. Yeah,
I think he's okay. I think he's all right. So yeah, and you're right, like just the leadership, D'Amico Ryans, like, you know, looking up at the, it feels like, you know, we have a TV on in the studio here during the show, and it feels like when we've got it on and they're talking about the NFL, it's about some issue going on in seemingly a majority of training camps out there. You know, some of them are contractual, but I'm just looking at this, you know, the Eagles are trying to build a bridge between Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. There's all sorts of fracturing on a team that right now is considered one of the top five or six teams in the NFL, you know?
Does this latest expose actually give us details or anything? I keep reading all these articles where it's like, they're just not, I don't, they're not on the same page, or there's this or that. I need a juicy story I can sink my teeth into.
I have not read any of the stories associated with it. I'm purely going off of, maybe I'm headline porning here, but I'm going off of the captions on TV on GetUp. But you and I watch enough Eagles football because they're on a lot. They're a national team. They play a lot of important games. I don't know that I don't know that it's, you know, completely out of the realm of possibility reading Nick Sirianni's body language on the sideline and Jalen Hurts' act on the sideline to say, like, yeah, this team feels like they got some stuff going on. You know?
Just by the results on the field. Something was going on with that football team last year. I mean, you make Matt Patricia the defensive coordinator midway through it. It was a mess, man. Yeah. That team, that's probably the team that's got the biggest potential swing from top to bottom.
Yes.
That it could just, if Saquon Barkley gets injured, or if Saquon Barkley stays healthy, but they can't actually manage a rushing attack with that addition, and or become a more consistent offense, and if the defense continues to founder, that's a potential nightmare up there.
Big time. You and I opened up those power rankings from Eric Edholm on NFL.com a little bit earlier, and like if we're talking boom or bust among top teams in those power rankings, the Eagles were fifth, right ahead of the Texans. I'm with you. Like, as I'm watching this whole Sirianni and Jalen Hurts story play out on TV while you and I are doing the show, I'm like, I would bet a lot of money on Sirianni getting fired after this year. Because if they have a bad season, they can't pin it on Jalen Hurts. They're married to him for a few more years based on the contract that they gave him. Plus, quarterbacks are harder to find than head coaches, you know, especially head coaches like Nick Sirianni. I know the guy's been to a Super Bowl, but I think all the evidence seems to point to the fact that he may have just been really good at hiring coordinators.
Right. That's exactly it. It's all about coordinators with Nick Sirianni. It's like, oh, well, it looks like Shane Steichen might have been the magic mixture there for getting the best out of Jalen Hurts. Or it looks like, Jonathan Gannon, much better defense. Jonathan Gannon leaves to go coach the Cardinals, and all of a sudden the defense falls
You're
apart.
You're grab-bagging with Matt Patricia.
So they need a better search engine, job search engines. What's the ones that, don't we advertise one of those?
Indeed.com or something.
Indeed.com to handle their coordinator search, not Nick Sirianni.
Good job. Good live read. Good way to go.
There you go.
There you go, Indeed.
That's how I start off all my live reads. What's that? Who's that home builder I talk about?
Who's the company?
How do you spell their name with an I or a U? Kirk Holmes.
Yeah, that's right. I love him. Have you seen all these fights that have been breaking out in the Lions and Giants?
Things
joint
are
practices?
Getting testy.
Dude.
These are two teams.
Malik Neighbors.
They are forged from steel. Ready for battle.
Malik Neighbors walking right past that dude, Kirby Joseph, yesterday and just slapping him on the head as he's running back to the huddle. Yeah.
Yeah.
They fought
sometimes
like,
that can be affectionate. I don't know if they. Did that start a fight?
Kirby Joseph did not see it as affectionate. Yes, it started a big fight yesterday.
So Kirby Joseph wasn't like, hey, bro. He was like, no. I don't know you.
Yeah. He ran up and started swinging on him. And I know how much you like it when guys start swinging on other guys who are wearing helmets on their heads.
Well, I feel like that's where the Guardian Cap's true concussion fighting potential is, but also hand breaking protection.
Yeah.
Usually you try to land an overhead right on somebody that's wearing a hard plastic helmet.
Right.
The Guardian Cap gives you a little bit of cushion.
It's
like
true.
Literally a little bit of cushion there.
It's like the masks that they wear when they spar. That's what the helmet cap is there for.
Or those big, they should start wearing those big cod pieces too.
Instead
of cups, they have those sparring crotch guards. Yeah.
Those look funny. Text message, does every MLB team lie like the Astros, or is it just us that gets lied to about injuries? I guarantee you they're not the only team that handles it this way, but to your point, I am beyond the point where I can trust anything coming out of the Astros about injuries.
I would almost prefer they just lie to me in a more sneaky way than just, trying to sell me sunshine and positivity when a guy's actually about to get a Tommy John surgery.
Yeah.
That's the part that you just lose all credibility. Mm-hmm. So now I don't know whether to... if you don't tell me anything, then I might get agitated that you're not telling me anything. But at least I can take you at your word when you give me a positive report.
True.
Where with Espada, I can't believe him. And it's weird because he does seem like a good dude.
Yeah.
It's one of those times sometimes on the side of telling little white lies in the sake of being nice, that can destroy a relationship. And our relationship is destroyed, Joe.
Yep.
Joshua, why don't you? I need you to tell me the truth.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. Let's circle back over to the Texans. Frank Ross got asked about the new kickoff rule. I, I don't know, man. I don't know if this thing's going to last, but Frank Ross gave us his first impressions on it. And let's hear from Case Keenum. Case Keenum, who's played with Stephon Diggs, played with C.J. Stroud. Case Keenum's is an opinion I respect when it comes to two of the most important players on the Houston Texans. We'll hear from him coming up next.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.